The reading today is taken from Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 33. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." And he said to them, "Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God has come with power." After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say that they were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Friends, will you pray with me real quick? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Amen. So, a side personal note, well, story this morning. I got a splinter in my foot. And as I, I just felt it. It's on like this part of my foot. And I can't get to it. I'm not that flexible. So as I go back and forth I catch it on the side of my foot and it keeps hurting. So if you see me grimace, that's why. Everything else is okay. I just have an awkward splinter in my foot. So for the past couple of weeks, we've been circling around this one question. One question that underlines the entirety of the first half of Mark. One question that if we look at Mark as a play, there's Act 1, Act 2, and Act 3. We are in Act 1. We are finishing Act 1 this morning. And the question that we've been asking is, who is Jesus? Who is this man? And today, Jesus decides to ask the question point blank, as Pat read. Today, Jesus goes to his disciples and say, "Who do people say that I am?" And they say, "Well, you are Elijah." They say you are John the Baptist. They say maybe you are one of the prophets. And Jesus goes, okay, well then who do you, my disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Messiah. You are the chosen one, the anointed one, the one promised to free us, the king who will overthrow the Romans, the king who we will welcome on Palm Sunday. You are the conquering hero, Jesus. You are coming to save us. And so satisfied, Jesus says and tells them that he must suffer many things. He will be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the prophets. He tells them that his message, the one of love, will take him all the way to Jerusalem and to the cross where he will be killed. And Peter lectures him. Peter takes him by the shoulders and shakes him and says, how dare you? You, Jesus, are the king. You won't be murdered. You are God. You can't die. You are going to rescue us from Caesar, not be killed by the Jews. And in a great text, Jesus looks at Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. You are concerned with human issues, not with God. Now, I love Peter. In a Bible study on Wednesday, Carolyn said, Peter is such a doofus. And I agree. He is a doofus. At his surface, Peter says, you are the Messiah. You are the promised one who is coming. But then when Peter lectures Jesus, when Peter takes Jesus by the shoulders and shakes him, he fights with Jesus. He misunderstands who Jesus is. And that throws me off. Peter is such a doofus. Think about all the things Peter has witnessed. The raising of Jairus' daughter, the feeding of the 5,000, walking on water, Jesus calming the storm around him. This is a guy who was called off the boats, who was told to leave his nets behind, who followed this rabbi, followed this teacher, who learned how to heal the sick and raise the dead. Peter had been with Jesus from the beginning and could not understand the simple question of who is Jesus. Peter's one of the special disciples. He keeps getting to go away with Jesus. With the raising of Jairus' daughter, Jesus only brought Peter and James and John. Today we're going to read about Jesus going up the mountain for the Transfiguration. It was only Peter, James, and John. Later in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus is praying, like our stained glass window shows us, he pulls Peter, James, and John to come out with him. Peter is a special disciple, a disciple among disciples, but he is such a doofus. I also think that I'm a lot like Peter. I think if I was a disciple, Jesus would be like, all right, we're going to go over there on the other side of the lake. And all the disciples and Jesus would be on the other side of the lake, and I'd be over here. And Jesus would be like, Jesse, what are you doing? And I feel like I'd be the same as Peter. And so Jesus takes Peter and James and John, and he leads them up the mountain as if to say, I'm going to show you who I am. And there on top of the mountain, he is transformed. He is transformed in the clothing of a martyr, in pure white clothing. And next to him are Elijah and Moses, probably two of the most important men of the Old Testament. Moses, who gave us the law, and Elijah, who gave us prophecy. And they talk to Jesus. And Jesus shows them authority. And so if Moses is how God wants us to relate to him, God gave us the law and how we should relate to God. And if Elijah gave us the prophet, which is how God is relating back to us, Jesus is this continuation of how God wants us to relate to him and how God is going to relate to us. Jesus is the continuation of this story. Jesus is the culmination of the story, the end of the story, the final word of God's love and message for humanity. He's the final chapter in God's big story. And so on top of that mountain, surrounded by Jesus and Elijah and Moses, shaking with fear, Peter is a doofus one more time. He says, Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let's build some huts. Let's build some dwelling places. Let's build some places where we can stay and live and not have to go back down the mountain. let's stay up here instead. All he wants to do, Peter is a doofus, all he wants to do is stay on top of that mountain to stay away from the crowds of the people who are going to meet them when they come down, to stay away from the fighting and arguing among the disciples, to stay away from the very people who want to kill Jesus. And just Peter does not understand what is going on, that Jesus came to teach, to show us and to teach us and to love us, but that message would get him killed. Peter came to die for us, or excuse me, Jesus came to die for us, and Peter just does not understand this. Peter wants to stay on top of that mountain. He wants to stay away and stay safe and to keep Jesus safe and to keep himself safe, and Peter does not get it. 2 weeks ago, you're going to hear from Lily in a little bit. 2 weeks ago, we went on a retreat for the youth group. This is a retreat that I've been on probably a dozen times, both as a student, as a teenager, and now as a leader. And every time we go away on this retreat, we take a weekend where all we do is we focus on worship and we focus on spending time with one another in youth group, and we spend time away. We spend time away from worldly things. We spend time away from the struggles and frustrations. We spend time away from all the issues that are going on. And Midwinter Advance, the retreat that we went on, and many retreats that I've gone on, are these very special, significant times that are holy. The Walk to Emmaus is one of these retreats. That it is a time away, and you get to a point on these retreats, you get to a point that you say, why are we going back? When we go home, bad things are going to happen. When we go home, people are going to be hurt. People are going to be sick. People aren't going to understand what it means to be a Christian. When we go home, nothing is going to be the same. And so without fail, around Saturday afternoon, I don't want to go home anymore. We're stuck on these mountaintop moments. We're stuck on this point where no one can reach us, and we are like Peter. It is good and holy that we are here. Why go back down the mountain? Why go back down the mountain? Why come back to our world? And so Jesus doesn't say it directly, but the message is clear in the text this morning that we cannot stay on top of that mountain, Peter. Don't be such a doofus. Our purpose is not to stay up here. We have to go back down. People need me. There's still healing to be done. There's still teaching to be done. And there's the cross that we have to go toward in Jerusalem. We cannot stay on top of this mountain. And so, yes, Peter is kind of a doofus. But I think we are exactly like Peter sometimes. I think sometimes we're all like Peter. We want to stay on top of that mountain. We want to stay in worship. We want to stay on the retreat. Let's stay away from all the frustration and anger and dirtiness of the world. Let's stay on top of our mountain. Let's stay away from the dirt and the hard work. Let's stay on top of the mountain where it's comfortable and easy, a life that isn't risky. Let's stay on top of the mountain, we say to Jesus. But like Peter, like Jesus, like John, like James, we cannot stay on top of that mountain. We have to get up and go down. We have to go into the world and try. We don't have to succeed, but we have to try. We have to live in the world as Christians, to be salt and light to a world that desperately needs it, to love unconditionally, to love others when they don't love us, to love our enemies and the strangers, to love those who aren't related to us, to love those when there is nothing in it for us. This is hard. That's why Peter doesn't want to go down the mountain. I don't want to love people that much. It's hard, Jesus. Friends, we cannot stay on the mountain because Peter did not stay on the mountain. You cannot go through the Christian faith unchanged. You can't become a Christian and be unchanged. No one comes to church hoping that they will stay exactly the same. We come to church hoping that we will be blessed, hoping that we will find comfort, hoping we will find meaning, hoping we will find love, hoping we will find instruction, hoping we will find commandments, hoping we will find purpose. We come to church to be transformed just like Peter was. And so we might be a doofus. We might make mistakes. We might get it wrong. But we are still changed by the encounter. Still changed by the life. Changed by the teaching and lessons of Jesus. We are changed by the cross. No one can be unchanged by this. No one can go through this experience and be completely unchanged. We have finished Act 1 of Mark. We have finished the first half of Mark. We are halfway through that book. And next week is the first Sunday of Lent. Next week is the beginning of the walk to Jerusalem. And over the next 6 weeks, we are walking with Jesus as he is walking to Jerusalem, toward Holy Week, toward the Passion, and toward the cross. And typically for Lent, we talk about our Lenten promises. We talk about a time to be introspective, to focus on our sins. And for many churches, we give something up for Lent. We give up gossiping or cursing or drinking or candy or gum. One year when I was a teenager, I gave up homework. My youth pastor was not thrilled about that. I texted her this week and I said, "Hey, you're making an appearance in my sermon." And she goes, "Man, I remember that. You could not be convinced to do your homework." I'm like, "God told me not to. It's fine. Do your homework." That's not what I'm saying. Do your homework.
Now you're paying for it.
Now I'm paying for it. It's so much harder now. Instead, this year at Broadway United Methodist Church, instead of focusing on what can we give up, we're going to focus on what can we take on. Usually we give up a habit or we give up a sin. This year we're going to take on a means of grace. This year we're going to find ways to dive into ways that we can become better Christians, become better humans, become better neighbors, and possibly become better children of God. So a means of grace is a very Wesleyan term. It's a very Wesleyan thing. It's a thing or an action that we do through which God gives grace, which is a very complicated way to say it. I did this with the youth group in about 25 minutes, and I had blank faces the entire time. We're going to do it over the next 6 weeks. So every week, we're going to find a way in which we can form a deeper relationship with God. And we're going to look at it in two specific categories. There's acts of piety, which is acts of being religious. That's a good way to say it. Such as praying or meditating on scripture or worshiping. And then there are acts of mercy. These are acts of what's called social holiness. Ways that we go out into the world and be better Christians. Feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. Visit the sick and visit those who are in prison. Ways that we take our Christianity and we go outside of the walls of the church. We go outside of the walls of our heart. Ways that we spread social holiness throughout the land. And so through Lent, we're going to look at both. We're going to look at ways that we can form deeper relationships with God through meditating on scripture and then through giving generously. We're going to figure out how we can dig deeper with God through prayer, but also through seeking justice. How can we become better Christians, both inside and outside? And so for the next couple of weeks, we're going to change our bulletin inserts. You're still going to have the daily scripture readings. I'm told that these are very, very popular. And what we're going to do is we're going to start printing the scripture that we're reading on them as well. But on the back, we're going to start having, it's kind of a handout that you could take home and ways that we can focus on the means of grace that we're focusing on. So I think next week we're going to look at prayer. And so we're going to have different prayers that you could try praying through the week. We're going to have different formulas for prayers. We're going to have some scripture on why we pray and how we pray. And so our bulletin insert is going to still be daily scripture readings, but also on the back are going to be the means of grace. And so every week we're going to look at a different one. And you'll see which one's coming up next, so you know to come to church in 2 weeks, but not in 3 weeks. You'll see where we're headed and what you want to look for. But this is the way during Lent, we're not giving something up. We're not giving up homework. We're not giving up chewing gum or soda or gossip. We're going to take something on. We're going to take something on to be better Christians, because this is how we live out our faith. This is how we are transformed by our faith. This is how we are going to strengthen our resolve. How we'll figure out what it means that Jesus is the Messiah and not be like Peter and a doofus and shake him and say, "You're wrong." This is how we'll walk with Jesus to Calvary, how we'll walk with him to the cross, how we get off the mountain, and how we get to work. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our sermon this week. This has been a joint Broadway and Port Colden United Methodist Church process. My name is Pastor Jesse, the pastor of Broadway and Port Colden churches. We hope you've had a great time listening today. And have a blessed week as you go about your day. Please think about stopping in and joining us one Sunday. We'd be happy to have you. If you have any questions about the churches, about the message, or anything else that you can think of, please reach out to us at info@broadwaynj.org or info@portcoldenumc.org. Thank you and have a great day.